Let's get into the subject matter. And so I encourage you to have a Bible there and open it to Philippians chapter 4, which is page 679 if you've got one of the red Bibles. Page 679. And I'll read chapter 4, verse 1 through to verse 9. Philippians chapter 4, page 679, reading from verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore you, dear, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So it doesn't look like it's a chapter that's relating to pornography per se here. But basically, I preached two sermons at our church on the subject of pornography last year, and Chris heard about that I was doing that subject, and so he said, why don't you come along and do a men's breakfast? And he got me booked up a year in advance to come along to this. And basically, the first sermon that I preached on was about the evils of pornography and the judgment to come and how we've got to be, it's such a dangerous thing to be involved with. And so I quoted all kinds of statistics about how it's prevalent even amongst Christians, amongst Christian pastors. The prevalence because of the internet has increased rapidly. And so it's an issue that churches do need to discuss because of its increasing prevalence and because of the great dangers of pornography. And so basically I likened my two sermons to, one was the stick and one was the carrot. And so I was trying to work out which sermon do I give today, and I've gone with the carrot, so to speak. So basically, I could focus on a passage from 1 Thessalonians about how dangerous it is, sexual immorality, but instead I've focused on something that is basically, I call the silver bullet to pornography, or to any sin, ultimately. And that is by looking at what does repentance mean, particularly in that when we repent of something, we don't turn 90 degrees. Repentance is a turning 180 degrees. So when you are engaged in a sin and you're called to repent from it, you're not meant to just stop doing it. You're actually meant to turn away from it and do what is right. So I do this with scripture kids, you know, you're going your way, and then when you repent and you turn to going God's way. And so if pornography is something that we fill our minds with, then repentance must mean that we don't just stop filling our minds with anything and we go to empty minds. No, if we're meant to fill our minds, then we're meant to fill it with what is right and what is good. And that is what I want to offer you today, is something else to fill your mind with, something that is right and good. If you're going to stop thinking about pornography or any other sin, what should you be thinking about? And that's the question that I want to look at today. And of course, we'll look at pornography and how it fails to be right thinking and what we should be thinking of. And so this passage is excellent, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, about speaking about the attributes of our thoughts, what our thoughts should be focused on. So it says there in verse 8 that we're meant to meditate on certain things that have these attributes. And there's this whole little list of things that we should be thinking about. And so these are the attributes of the best kinds of thoughts. And so look at this verse with me, and we'll go through each of these attributes in turn, and then we'll look at what fits these attributes and so what we should be thinking of. So in verse 8 it says, finally, brothers, whatever things are true. So one of the first things that we should examine for our thoughts is it true? And this is where pornography fails the test, because it's not true. It's an illusion. We've got to be careful with so many things that we think of that they're actually an illusion. They're not true thoughts. And this is where illicit drugs are a problem for people as well, because they're showing them sights and sounds that aren't true, and they're getting lost in them, and that's consuming their minds. Or even things like fiction. I do read fiction and movies and we watch. We've got to be very careful with fiction, because it's about things that aren't true. They're characters that are made up. And so we start to think that the world is actually like the movies, or the world is really like what we read in books, but it's not necessarily the case. And pornography fails this test as well. It fails the test that whatever is true, because these people that are filmed, they're acting out. They're actors in one sense, and they're not really engaging in sexual relationships in the way that is meant to be God-honouring. And then when we watch it, if you were to watch pornography, you're acting out as well as you fantasize about yourself being in that situation. And so it's not true. It's a lie that you're feeding into your mind when you look at pornography. You actually start to think that the girl is really into you that you're looking at, and that you're the king and that she really loves you. And it's a false idea. It's not a true idea. And so it fails this test of verse 8 to think about whatever is true, to meditate upon what is true. The second thing that we see there listed, it says to think about things that are true, but whatever things are noble. Now, the word noble here can mean honourable, lofty, majestic. So these are the kinds of things that we're meant to think about, things that are majestic, things that are lofty, as opposed to things that are ignoble or vulgar. And this word is often used in the Greek language, in the Bible, in other places, for reference to divinity or holy things. These are noble things. So it's things like the temple, even the law of God, it is a noble law. But also for different people, for elders, they're said to be noble, deacons, noble, women are said to be noble in the scriptures as well. And when we look at pornography, it's quite clear it's not noble. It's not something that is majestic, that is lofty. For all the glamorization of pornography in our culture, no one wants their daughter to grow up and to become an actor, an actress in pornographic movies. We don't see it as a noble aspiration for their life. We want them to grow up and do something else with their life. We don't want them to go into such an industry. And so we see that pornography is not a noble thought. Thirdly, we're supposed to think about whatever is just, whatever is right, is another way you could translate that. And it's not hard to understand that very quickly as we read the scriptures, that pornography fails this test. There are so many scriptures that I could quote about the evils of sexual immorality, and that it's not right, it's not just, it's not in accordance with God's law. The most common one being one from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about even if you look at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery in your heart. And so very clearly pornography fails the seventh commandment straight off the bat. So then we shouldn't be looking at that. We should be instead thinking about something that is right and just. Also, fourthly, think about whatever is pure. Whatever is pure we're supposed to be thinking about. And this is where pornography fails this test as well. It's most people would associate, yes, pornography as dirty. And the viewer often feels dirty afterwards, wants to have a shower to sort of wash off the filth, wants to have a new day come so that I have a fresh start, that tomorrow's going to be a good day. I just want this day to be over where I looked at something that I shouldn't have. And so we know inherently that it's not pure, that it's unclean by even the conscience that God has given us. So pornography fails that test of verse 8 as well, that we're meant to think about whatever is pure. Also meant to think about whatever is lovely, whatever things are lovely. And so we have to ask, the things that we're thinking about, are they actually promoting love towards others? Are they about loving others? And this is where we have to recognise that the porn user is not being loving. Pornography damages people. It's not, if you start to read some statistics, I did read a book about the dangers of the sex industry, and it's awful what it does to girls and the damage that it takes upon their bodies. And it's then not loving to actually view such things, because you're encouraging an industry that is abusing women for the pleasure of often men. And then even the images that are often made, the movies that are made, encourage hatred of women. It was one of the most awful books I read when I was reading about the terrible nature of the porn industry. And the things that I read about that I didn't know they did to women, and the hatred that some of these movies are, it's not, you know, oh, they're a loving husband and wife that's portrayed on screen. It's often this brutal nature of the... It's not just sex. There's actually violence towards women that's done through it. And so it's not lovely. It's not loving towards women to look at pornography, because you're encouraging such an industry. And then your mind, if you start to watch that kind of pornography, it starts to encourage you to hate women in the way and be violent towards women, as you've seen portrayed on screen. Sixthly, it says to think about whatever is admirable, whatever is of good report, is the translation there in front of you. And this is basically saying we should be thinking about things that are commendable, things that people would speak well of, things that are to be admired. And we have to see very quickly that pornography fails this test as well, that people do not admire the porn industry, and that they you even see things like with Google, that they recognise that it's not of good report for them to include pornographic words in their autocorrect search filter. So as you type into Google, if I'm assuming everybody's used Google at some point, you'll see that it starts to predict the predictive text as to what you're actually searching for. And Google, their official stance is they don't allow pornographic terms to show up in their predictive text. Why is that? Because it's not of good report. They know that it's not of good report. And so a big company like that filters it out. And so we understand, as we think about it, that it is not of good report. Then the seventh thing there, it says that if there is any virtue, another way you could translate that is excellent. Does the thing that you're thinking about excel others? Does it qualify for merit? That's what virtue is, this merit idea. And we give awards for things that are meritorious. So I do this with my kids at Scripture. We give out little merit certificates when they've done a good job and they love it. They love to get this little certificate. They love to get this award that what they have done is virtuous, that it's good, and it's usually for good listening or something like that. And you see that with pornography, it fails this test as well, that it's not virtuous. It's not deserving of merit. It is not excellent. It's interesting that the Oscars, different awards given out for film, they don't include pornographic movies in their awards. They're just not even, they're never nominated or anything. It doesn't even come close to consideration. And even with a movie that I believe is pornographic in nature, but was very popular, 50 Shades of Grey, any sort of awards that were being given out, and it's not just the Oscars, there's so many different ones, the only nominations that that movie had, for all its advertising and for all the amount of money that was spent on it, the only nominations it received was for music, the soundtracks in it. And then it did win some awards. Apparently, this is according to Wikipedia page about 50 Shades of Grey, it says that it won, there's Golden Raspberry Awards. So these are ones where they just say the film was absolutely hopeless. And it won Worst Picture, Worst Actor, Worst Actress, Worst Screen Combo, and Worst Screenplay. It took out every one of the awards, which says something about that's the pop culture out there. That's not Christian awards. That's the pop culture out there. They recognise that pornography, even in its most glamorised form, 50 Shades of Grey, and they would see that as very, softcore pornography. They would see that as, I'm assuming. They couldn't give it awards either, because they recognise it's not excellent, it's not virtuous. And then the eighth one is very similar. It says, if there is anything praiseworthy, similar to being noble, and similar to excellent and virtuous. A lot of these things tie in together with one another. And we recognise people don't praise pornography. Now, with the death of Hugh Hefner a few weeks ago, there were lots of articles, obituaries about him, and saying how wonderful he was for the liberation of sexuality in our culture and everything. But there were some scathing obituaries out there. I saw one in a liberal paper that I would have thought would be, oh, yes, Hugh Hefner was a wonderful person. But no, they were very hostile to what the damage that he had done with his life. And so we recognise that pornography is not praiseworthy. And so pornography fails these tests. We're told to meditate on things that have these attributes. And you see, each one of these eight things you could not associate with pornography. So what then should be the things that fit these qualifications? What should you be thinking about? Now, there's lots of things that we can think about with our day, and it can be your family. My children consume a lot of my thoughts, whether I like it or not. And your wife, your parents, those people that you interact with, friends, and they're good things to think about. It's good to think about your family. Not just to hold yourself away from them and try not to contemplate them at all. You can think about your job. It is good to work. God gives us work to do, to work with our hands, and it's good to be consumed with your work to some extent, to be thinking about it and to working for God's honour. It's good to think about God's creation, to think about the things. When we go on holidays, we see so much of the creation. You may be blessed in an area where you get to see lots of God's creation, good creation around us, plants, animals, water bodies that are very good to admire. I'm very blessed in Des Moines that we have a lot of water around us, and so I get to see God's creation and meditate upon it. People even look up into space and meditate upon the stars that are up there and how glorious they are. And so these are good and lovely things to think about. And then there's certain entertainments that we can enjoy. Books, I said I do read fiction. It's more of a something I do with my wife now. I read aloud to her. Fiction I've ignored for quite a few years, but it's something that I like to do with her now. And movies, we can be entertained from such things. Certain games we play, certain sports, although I'd say some sports fail these tests of whether it is pure and lovely and things like that. I think of things like boxing. I just don't understand. I know a lot of men like boxing, but I just... where you stand there and you beat somebody you beat each other in the head until someone passes out. I'm not sure that's exactly lovely to watch or to want to do. Some things we've got to be careful of, but there's nothing wrong. I'm not interested in sport, but I don't think there's anything particularly wrong in some sports that could fit these qualifications. But ultimately, all these things that we think about are tainted with sin. So the family that you love, your kids that you love, they've got sin in them, and you've got sinful, and so you can't, some people make idols of their children, and then their children fail them. Their children walk away from them and never have anything to do with them again. And so we've got to be very careful in recognising that all these good things, they do have problems with them. Even the creation that's around us. Creation often bites back, and we've got to be very careful about admiring it in an unhealthy way. And so then what should be the subject of your thoughts? What ultimately should be the first thing that we're thinking about? What is the thing that fits all these attributes so well? Well, Paul gives us a hint in the passage. If we look back at verse 6, it says in chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's this heavy emphasis there in verses 4 through to verse 7, of course, on God and rejoicing in him. And it's so true that God should be the regular subject of our thoughts, because God fits these attributes in a way that nothing else does. Definitely these attributes do not fit with pornography. But there's other things that, yes, we can think about, but they don't fit these attributes as well as God does. God is true. First attribute there, whatever things are true, God is true. Jesus even says he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is true. He never lies to you. And so he is the one that you can think about and always think rightly about because he has revealed himself truthfully to you. God is noble. He is worthy of all honor. There is nothing else in this world that is worthy of honor in the way that God is. He is majestic. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. God is right. We're meant to think about things that are just and right. And God defines justice. If anything else is just, it's only because it is in accordance with God's justice. So then, of course, he fits this attribute of justness in, or justice, here in this text. Also, God is pure. There is no one holier than God. We're meant to be thinking about things that are pure. But he is the only one who is truly clean. He is the only one who is in unapproachable light. He is the one that is holy and pure in a way that nothing else that you can think about is holy and pure. And then we're meant to think about things that are lovely. And God, of course, is lovely. He is lovely for us to think about and to be consumed with the love for. He's worthy of our love, but he's also loving himself. God is love. And we know God is love because of the way that he expressed his love in sending his son to die for our sins. God loves us so much that he would give his one and only son for us. And so God is definitely worthy of our thoughts because he is altogether lovely. He is the lily of the valley. He's the fairest of 10,000. God is also admirable. He's of good report, as it says there in that translation. And yes, God is admirable. And when you consider all that he has done in his creation, in his redemption of us, he is to be admired. He is to be, good reports are supposed to go out about him. And then God excels all others. He is virtuous. And remember, we looked at that word virtuous and how it's excellent. And see, he does excel all others. There is no other God like our God. Any other idol that you construct, God beats it. He wins all the awards. If there was an award ceremony for which is the best God, there's no contest. There was an Oscars for him. Academy Awards, he would win every time. Because nothing else competes with him. And therefore, he is altogether praiseworthy as well. Whatever is virtuous, whatever is praiseworthy, we're supposed to meditate upon. And we sing his praise so often. We do it, we praise him in our prayers, but we even sing about him because he is praiseworthy. So you have a choice in your life. You can think about pornography. You can allow it to come into your mind and sit there and consume your thoughts, or you can think about God and what he has done for you and have your mind filled with something right and good and lovely and admirable and virtuous and noble rather than pornography. And so it's not hard to see which is the better subject of your thoughts. You can't just stop thinking altogether. You've got to think about something. Your mind just keeps going. So what are you going to think about? Are you going to think about porn, or are you going to think about God, who is a far superior subject for your thoughts? You may be saying, well, how do I think more about God? How do I go about this? Well, it's pretty common things that we know as Christians, but we need to be encouraged to do them again and again because they are the way of knowledge of God. Knowledge of God for our thoughts comes through the scriptures. We've got to think more and more of the scriptures. We've got to think about what God has revealed of himself to us. And so that means taking time each day to think of God in privacy, to study God by his word, and to study God by our prayer, to think about him in prayer. Now, you may use other helps to it. You may need helps to pray, such as books like The Valley of Vision, which have so many marvelous prayers about God that lift our thoughts so that they're consumed with him. And that's the daily battle that we do with pornography. You may think when you sit down and read your Bible or pray that it's got really nothing to do with pornography unless you're praying specifically about a battle with pornography. But each day that you sit down and you think about God in the scriptures, you think about God in prayer, you're choosing to think about something that is lovely, and so that you're not spending time thinking about something that is unlovely, something that is unwholesome. And also take time to think about God at church events. That's the wonderful thing about having a church community. Yes, think about God privately in the scriptures and in prayer, but think about him at church events where people gather together to consider God, to think about things that fit these attributes, which of course is God, to think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, whatever is of virtue. If there is anything praiseworthy, you're meant to meditate upon those things, and that's what your local church should be doing. And so you should get along there so that you can start thinking about the Lord as you meet with other people. When the doors of the church are open, be there. And when they close, be there as well. I actually had to tell a couple at our church recently, you just got to leave earlier because they're such committed Christians and I love having them at our church. But they were saying, oh, it's an exhausting week, we're really tired and everything. And they were saying, oh, and it's a long day on Sundays. And I said, you know, you don't have to stay until I lock the doors. I'm always the last one out, and these guys have become, they've been coming for about 6 months now, they're the last ones out with me. And I'm like, you know, if you really are tired, yes, enjoy the day of rest that God has given you somewhat on a Sunday, but yeah, you don't have to be here every time I close the doors. But I love that about them, because they're so consumed with the love for the Lord that they're there till the doors close. They want to keep talking to people about Christ, who is the best subject matter for our thoughts. So I encourage you, be there when the doors open at church. Go to Sunday worship, go to Bible studies, go to prayer meetings, go to men's breakfast like you've done this morning, go to lectures about the Lord, and stay long at such meetings to think about the one who should be the subject of your thoughts. And associate with other Christians outside the church. If you aren't meeting with people to talk about Christ through the week, consider whether you could be. If you don't know someone to meet with, that's why you've got Chris to nominate someone. I'm sure you could find someone for you to talk to through the week, to meet together, to speak about the scriptures, to read a good Christian book together, to pray, just have a prayer triplet, just get together, read a very short passage and then pray about the things that are going on in your life. And that's a meditation upon God. That's doing what chapter 4, verse 8 of Philippians encourages you to do. And then read books written by Christians. That's one way that you can associate with other Christians at any time you choose. It can be late at night when other Christians would be asleep, getting ready for work the next day, and you're awake. You think, who can I chat to about God? That's what a book does. You pick it up, and the person starts chatting to you, starts speaking to you. And you can chat back. You write in the margins. That's what I do. I cross things out. Put question marks. This thing. That's a chat. I'm chatting with the author as I'm reading. And I'm reading about the one who should be the subject of my thoughts. And so this is the silver bullet to pornography. There are all kinds of books you can read about pornography and how to try and keep it out of your life. And they'll recommend things like internet blockers, getting married so you have proper sexual relationship and so your sexual desires are satisfied. And a lot of books just keep telling you, say no. They give you education about how awful pornography is and say no, 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 no. But the silver bullet to overcoming porn use is by consuming your thoughts with God. How does that work? Well, for one thing, you won't have time to look at porn if you're always thinking about the Lord. I still remember a Christian philosopher that I was listening to some talks for, and he was in his 70s, and the internet is probably from sort of 90s, early 2000 period, where internet pornography is becoming more and more prevalent. And he said, this guy, Ronald Nash, he said, I don't know where people get time to look at porn. I'm so busy all the time. Like, how do people have time to sit down in front of a computer and watch pornography? And that's what happens. If you are regularly, if you're at church events, you're reading your Bible privately, you're going about your life and working properly, you're spending time with family, you're not going to have much time to be looking at pornography. And I often think that about some people who struggle with pornography. I think, and then they tell me, I don't have time to read my Bible. If you've got time to look at porn, you've got time to read your Bible. If you've got time to look at porn, you've got time to read a book. They say, oh, I never read Christian books. I'm just not a reader. Well, when you're thinking, I'll look at something online, that's when you think, no, I'm going to spend some time reading that book that I never get around to reading. So in one way, consuming your thoughts with God just doesn't give you the time, the leisure time, to look at porn. But the real silver bullet of this idea that comes from Philippians 4 verse 8 of consuming your mind with God rather than porn is that the more you look at God, the more you see that he does fit these attributes, that he is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. And you become more and more attracted to him. The more you get to know him, the more you start to love him. And the more you want to know about him. And the more interested you are in his word. And the attraction of pornography starts to fade more and more. Because you've got something far better. And you're not so interested in that subject matter that you used to be interested in before. There's a joy that comes with consuming your mind with God, and a peace that comes with consuming your mind with God. And you see that in verse 9. The very next verse after verse 8, it says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. If you meditate upon God, he is with you, the God of peace. You have an option of being consumed with a peace in your heart, or if you go down the road of sin and things like pornography, you'll be embracing chaos. Pornography is just one other evil that brings chaos and pain into your life. It brings guilt, it brings ruined relationships with other people, it can break up your whole marriage, lose access to your kids, it can bring sexual failure, it can bring so much damage into your life. You think it's going to bring you pleasure. Satan tells you that lie, but it doesn't. It'll bring chaos. It'll bring disruption to your life, not peace, the peace that God brings. And ultimately, it'll bring death. Hugh Hefner consumed his life with pornography. And where is he today? Apparently, he's still in his silk pajamas. They buried him in them, but he's dead. He's in that coffin now in his silk robe. That's what pornography has brought him. And it will bring you judgment and death as well if you're consumed in that way. Or you can be consumed with God and know that peace and joy that comes now and for eternity. And so therefore, ultimately, pornography can't compete with such thoughts. I encourage you, get to know God better and better, and such things will start to fade. Don't be taken in by the smut of the world that lies to you about pleasure, but instead think about the Lord and experience true and lasting pleasure now and for eternity. How about a closing prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this instruction from your word as to what should consume our thoughts, what we should meditate upon, the things that have these attributes. And Lord, as we look at yourself, we see that you alone fit these perfectly, that there are many good things in this world that we can think about, the work that we have, the relationships that we have with others. But Lord, we recognize that you alone are the one who fits these perfectly. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be consumed with thinking of yourself, that we would regularly read your Bible day by day so that we understand you more and more. We pray that we'd spend time with other believers so that they encourage us to think of you, that we're forced to think of you when we come along and sit in a pew, when we'd If we were somewhere else, we would start to think of other things that we shouldn't. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to love you more and more, so that the attractions of sin in this world, including pornography, fade away as we know true peace, we know true joy is found in meditating upon you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.